to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio. And we are live on the air, continuing the WrestleMania marathon here on Rant EM Radio. I am AA, being joined by Surfer.
Good evening.
And welcome, everybody, to the WWE Hall of Fame post-show here on Rant EM Radio. And as I said, this is the continuation of the marathon. The lines are open, 954-889-7268, AA, the Rant, all one word on Skype. We're going to be hearing from... We should be hearing from Lee and possibly some others here shortly. I guess right off the bat, we got to talk about some breaking news, and that is about 15 minutes ago, Sting officially announced his retirement at the WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Now, this was something that we were expecting, but you know, it's still, regardless, it's still breaking news. But another Hall of Fame is in the books. You know, it's only 11:41, so they didn't go too overboard.
This is pretty early, considering.
But then again, you know, they also weren't... I think there was one or two less inductions than there was in...
They've added one with the Warrior Award that didn't exist before.
Yeah, but that, you know... I don't know, man. I just...
Hey, look, Stan Hansen saying, I'm out. I mean, he could have went on. He just said, you know, look, he was the first one, right?
Second.
Oh, I mean, who was the first one again?
The first one was, it was not Stan Hansen.
The first guy.
Yeah.
Came out and said, thanks, I'm out. I thought it was off to a good start at that point. I mean, because some of them can just go on and on and on, and then some of the presenters get up there and they make it...
The Godfather.
Yeah, the Godfather, yeah. They make it about themselves and as opposed to the person they're supposed to be inducting. And you sit through their spiel for 25, 30 minutes, and I'm taking up a next 3 minutes just to prove a point. No, but I'm just kidding. But, you know, you want to hear the good stories, but some of them can just wrap that shit up a lot quicker, and it would make the show, it makes the show better when they do.
With that, we say hello to Mr. Lee Champion.
Hello, how are you?
Who had a few sodas.
Yeah. I mixed some Perrier with some other stuff, so, yeah.
Damn, man.
Well, it's a celebratory night, you know.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
I had to hook it up. Very, very interesting night.
But, I guess, like I said, the breaking news off the top, Sting announces his retirement from the industry, and, you know... we knew the announcement was coming. You know, it still hurts. You know, it's officially over, though.
It hurts. You wish that it didn't have to. You always hope that people can go out on their own accord. You know, not necessarily. I mean, he did, but he wouldn't have if the injury didn't happen. So you hate to see those things happen.
Right. I mean, and who knows? I mean, he could be healthy enough to wrestle again. It's just, I guess he figures now is as good a time as any.
Probably he had an injury that by the time he'd have got healthy enough, he'd have been a bit older, and it just would have been not worth, you know, putting the effort to go.
I thought the only person that I'm surprised he didn't mention was Lex Luger.
Yeah, Luger's got shafted on so many levels of things. And when you look at Lex Luger and you look at him now, mm-hmm. even when you see him, I remember hearing him on, I think it was Flair's podcast. And the dude is definitely, I mean, it's a real sad story. I hope he's in a happy place. Speaking of Sting, you know, that's one thing I can say. He looked like he was in a good place.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes me feel good. I really knew that I was going to hear it when they were saying one more match. And a look on his face, I know everybody who's watched it could see it, that he knew what we all knew what he was about to say. Because the reaction, was like, wow, you know, this. And he started to tear up and everything, got the shades. But that's still my guy, though. Sting, he's still a man. It was nice to see all the people, you know, come out. Show him that respect, and I was one of those people that at this state in the career I didn't want to see Undertaker and Sting. I didn't even want to see him wrestle because of his age and everything. And you know, it's a good time for him to go and enjoy his children. I didn't know he just, I guess, recently got married again.
Well, he remarried or renewed his vows.
Okay. So that's
at least that's how I interpreted it.
That's what I thought. You know. But I was trying to figure out if that was the same lady I saw before. I couldn't remember, but the name sounded familiar. But you know, it seems like he's in a good place. He has a job. I'll finish by saying that I watched briefly. It's like a minute clip. Y'all might have saw it on WWE on their YouTube where they showed everyone getting their rings. And I just watched the interaction between Vince and the people who got in. And you could even look at Vince, and regardless of how that whole thing went down at WrestleMania and how we all felt about, myself included, the treatment of WCW wrestlers. Like, you can honestly see he has respect for Sting.
Yeah.
Like, just how he interacts with him. Like, you see, he doesn't look like he was all business when he was around Sting. He looks like this is a guy who, he looked like, when he's around him, he just seems like he treats him like a friend.
Well, that's the tragedy about Sting. Like, had he came over at the demise of WCW, he would have been very successful. Out of all those guys, he would have had a couple run championship, a couple times with the belt.
It makes me wonder, sort of like, and you know what? Part of me believes that. But then, just like Sting, is that small part of it that just makes you wonder, because he didn't want to take that chance, and it's like,
It
may have been a season where he would have had to have paid for being a part of WCW. Because conquering Sting is conquering WCW.
But he's one of those guys that the fans would have not stood for Sting being mistreated out of all those guys.
I don't think Vince would have cared about it. When his mind is set on something, it don't matter what the fans say.
No, I really think it would have been a backlash. If Sting had came there in like 1999, 2000, and then, you know, he was jobbing out to Hurricane Helms on a nightly basis, people know that.
No, I'm not saying to that degree, sir. I'm saying just the fact of, I'm not saying he would have, okay, how can I put it? I'm not saying that he would have been jobbing at Hurricane Helms to that level. I'm just saying a level where it would have had to go through a season of, like, an initiation, so to speak, like a hazing period.
I think he would have been successful the whole time. I mean, now, that doesn't mean that he would have came in and just rolled through everybody. Yeah, he would have probably took some early losses to a couple of guys, but for the most part, I mean, that would have, I'm telling you, I think the backlash would have been
your level of success. I mean, I look at somebody like, for example, Booker T came in, and Booker T, I mean, he made a smart choice of what he did. I mean, Booker T, he left WCW being the top guy. You know, he went his back and forth with Scott Steiner or whatever. And when he got there, I mean, Booker T was just another WCW star. They didn't I mean, Jericho had the belt, Rock had the belt, Angle had the championship. They
but Booker T, for popular he was the Sting.
I know he wasn't Sting, but it's just, again, if you can name me one person who came from WCW after all of that, that didn't get that, you know what I'm saying? Even after 15.
I don't know if you could consider this the same, but I don't think it would have been no different from when Ric Flair first came there.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I
don't know about that.
Like, when Ric Flair came over, the fans would have lost it if he came in and not been successful from the start.
But no, Ric Flair came over even recognized as a champion from somewhere else. What I'm saying was this is why I more so don't agree with what you're saying, is because if Sting was always going to be shown that respect, then I don't think Mania last year, his match would have ended the way it did.
Yeah,
but see, I think there was more to the plan than him just going down to defeat for one Mania. I mean, he probably
would've... It's not him losing the Mania. It's what happened in that match.
Oh.
That match went from being Triple H and Sting to being WWE versus WCW.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it was something that never was going to happen, I mean, if you talk about being so far removed from something, that was years of went down the line to the point where no one was expecting for them to come out. If you listen to the preacher, nobody at all expected for any type of WCW, NWA. No, no one saw that coming, but it just had to happen. That's what I said. I think that even though Sting was respected and everything, it would have been another opportunity for Vince to say, you know, I won. And, I mean, like I said, there were so many matches that could have taken place that didn't. But he had to protect his brand. And I can't fault that man for that.
I'm happy he's in the Hall of Fame. He went out under his terms, so that's good, and that's that. Now we got to talk about some other things that happened at the Hall of Fame that they're just we can't ignore them. And I got to start, obviously, with the first blaring thing that I think caught my eye, or caught my ear for that matter, Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah.
When Kevin Von Erich was talking about the Freebirds, he talked about the New Day, but instead of calling them the New Day, he called them these new gay guys.
Yeah. I swear he said gay too.
Yeah, no, he said it. He said it. That's why everybody was laughing.
It's not like he had a mouthful and he just kind of his stuff.
That's the problem with those with them Von Erichs. They talk with marbles in their mouth.
And he looks. The thing about him is he looks the exact same way, just like
great.
You know,
he just looks.
I didn't know there was any Von Erichs still alive.
He's the only one.
He's it.
He's the only straight laced Von Erich.
I know. There's the girl.
The girl. That's her. TV. That's the daughter.
Right.
But the thing is
that I wonder if she was there.
Who?
La Lacey.
I think she just had another kid, so I don't think so.
Okay.
But you know what, to be honest with you, for the way he came out dressed, I don't think this was something that was planned. I think it just sort of happened.
Somebody tell me, who was that old guy out there with Michael P.S. Hayes tonight?
That was Jimmy Jam Garvin.
No.
When he first came out, I texted him.
I thought Jimmy was going to drop dead.
It makes me feel old to see guys that we watched in their youth come out and look decrepit.
No, but that's the thing. I think the blaring, the thing that's the most distracting thing is, you know, for myself, at least I can speak for you on this, is that when we grew up watching Jimmy Garvin, Jimmy had a full head of long hair.
He had the Jufro?
He had a heavy Jufro. Well, not a Jufro, but...
It was bushy.
He had bushy hair, and it was primped and
all of his chest and everything.
Yeah,
came with the beard.
And so
that what was it called, perm?
It was like he had like a perm. He had permed hair, and then the last time Jimmy wrestled that I can remember seeing Jimmy wrestle was in 1994, he wrestled at Super Brawl, and he had his hair cut short. But after that, the next time I saw it, I didn't see Jimmy again for another 20 years.
And then he came out that day looking like a loan officer or that. Or
he's a, if I remember correctly, Jimmy, when Jimmy left wrestling, Jimmy became a commercial airline pilot.
That always cracks me up about how some guys, you know, you watch their careers, they look like they're superior athletes and wrestlers, but when they get old, never was a wrestler.
He came from an era, well, I can't speak for everybody, but I mean, Jimmy was never like one of those superior athlete type bodies, you know what I'm saying?
He had a wrestler's body, though. I mean,
for that time, I mean, he's old. He, like you say, it's been how many years since he's been in there? Michael, if anything, let's talk about how Michael Hayes, how he's trying to hold on to that last bit.
Exactly.
I mean, he ain't trying to let go.
No, Michael doesn't want to lose.
He didn't think his son. I'm disappointed in that.
Who?
Oh, Michael Hayes.
Oh, come on. Stop with that. Anyways, the whole thing with them coming out dancing I thought... When Freebird first hits, I'm thinking they're going to play Freebird for like 20 seconds, and it's going to cut into Bad Street, and it didn't happen. But okay, we later found out why that was the case. But them coming out and trying to, I think the big problem with them was is that they were dancing for so long that's why they were blown up. And. And Jimmy Garvin was huffing and puffing. It took him 15 minutes to finally, you know, come down from being blown up.
They gave him all time in the world, too.
That's another thing. I don't understand that. That whole induction was so odd.
They kept bringing people out. Like, it was like, we want to bring... I was like, whoa. Like,
I'm, you know.
Well, okay. How many Freebirds were there?
Okay.
Oh, you'll say five?
There's five or six Freebirds, but the thing is that not every... I don't count...
Most of them are dead.
I don't count... most of them are dead, yeah. I don't count Sir Oliver Humperdinck or Big Daddy Dink. I don't count Diamond Dallas Page. No, I don't count... there was the other one. I don't count Bad Street.
Bad Street, you gotta kinda count.
Why?
He had a song named after him.
He was a champion with him.
I guess.
I understand what you're saying, though, Double A.
I mean, Bad Street was there for 5 minutes,
but
you know?
If you induct these people, then somebody has to come out and accept the award.
Well, the point is that they inducted the four main members because they were the four people that were, you know, together. So I understand them doing... Michael Hayes, Buddy Roberts, Terry Gordy, and Jimmy Garvin. That whole induction was a little odd.
Sons came out, and that the one son, the first one, he came out and I think it was Gordy. Was it Gordy's son?
Yeah, it was Gordy's son. That was Jesse.
He was fine, but then the second one, he came out and I was like
who the hell are you?
He's like, come out!
Come on! Like, okay, what are we going to come on for? I mean...
Yeah, like, who are you? I want to say just overall, I mean, and surprisingly, this wasn't mostly for the Freebirds, but it was some people. A lot of non-PG comments on this.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing with almost peeing on Linda McMahon.
Talking about golden showers and Big E talking about his oil unit.
Yeah. That was... that. I got to give it up to the New Day, though. They really...
And eyes coming out the socket and stuff.
Well, that wasn't terrible.
I thought it was funny how somebody's calling themselves a pimp, but then they're thinking their wife.
Yeah. Yeah, he called his grandson a pimp.
No, I'm just saying, like you think
surfer, of a, you do surf a lot. I know what you mean, surfer.
I'm
but
saying,
I mean,
you think of a pimp, you don't think I got a wife.
Okay.
It's logic, surfer. Logic, because
he went in as the Godfather. He didn't go in as Papa Shango or Kama. He went as Godfather, and he knew he better thank his wife for being, you know, if anybody tolerated what he was going through, it's his wife. But I told Double A this is something that I know different people disagree. I know one years ago, William and I, we had a disagreement on this. Because William's idea was like, you know, if he pay a ticket. And I think we talked about this. It might have even been on the ring. I'm not sure. But a lot of people, you know, I don't know how I feel. I know how I feel personally about it, but I can understand what some people say. They say if they pay their ticket, they should be able to boo and cheer who they please.
No.
But I just kind of feel like at a Hall of Fame ceremony where this is not an actual wrestling event.
This is a something where you're supposed to show reverence and respect.
For what their contribution to the business.
Exactly.
And the booing of like, oh, they booed Cena, they booed. He wasn't there for that. Then they turned around and booed Charlotte.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're so used to making Raw and SmackDown about themselves that they think they're supposed to do that at every event.
No. That's not truly our Surfer, because I'm going to tell you why. In the Hall of Fames that happened when they first brought back the ceremony in 2004 and 2005, and the years that Hogan and Bret Hart and Dusty were all inducted, that stuff didn't happen. This booing during the Hall of Fame is, I'd say, probably in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I know it hasn't been all the time, but I'm saying as of late. It just seemed like they think they're supposed to be a part of this show. And
no, they're not.
Like booing somebody, like, a lot of these millennials, they have not separated disliking the character from disliking the person.
Oh, hold on. It ain't just the millennials.
Yeah, it's just people being a pain-in-the-ass fan in general.
It's people your age, Surfer, who still, I mean, I've been to events where it's been, I've seen people get everything short of throwing something at a wrestler because they are so emotional. Their hate, I mean, they don't know how to separate the difference. And, you know, it's a sad thing when people get, I mean, it's just that simple respect. This isn't the time or place, you know, for that. You respect whoever it is out there. I mean, if you don't like a person, and you dislike a person to such a degree, it's better for you not to have any type of response at all. But collectively, I mean, this woman, her father's out there, and, you know, she's out there, and he's mentioning her daughter, and you booing her. I mean, it's not appropriate. And I thought there was some type of
Yeah, Jen, you should have behaved yourself at the Hall of Fame tonight.
Don't believe when you went to the Hall of Fame, you correct me if I'm wrong, I thought there was, like, some type of etiquette they required for...
There was, I believe they had sent out an email or something that said what would the, you know, what the behavior should be. And I could be wrong that in years past, they even sent out guidelines for dress code.
That's what I thought. I thought that too.
And, you know, but I don't remember 100% for sure. But the thing is that they should be showing respect. If they want to boo, let them go home and watch it on the network and boo from their couch. And that's it, you know. For the most part, though, all the inductions were okay. Nobody, you know, Jacqueline and the Dudleys were very funny.
Short and sweet with Jack.
Short and sweet. I thought the Snoop Dogg induction was very good.
Very nice.
I thought the beginning was pretty, you know, he goes, I gotta be hood, I gotta take a selfie with the crowd first.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty funny. And he acknowledged Sasha.
I checked, and they posted it.
He did post it?
WWE posted it. Yeah.
Then who else? I thought the Joan London thing was okay because she came out and she spoke like an informed person. Though Warrior's wife is long-winded.
Oh, you know, if they gotta figure something out with her double A.
Yeah, because they can't continue like that.
She keeps making it about her.
She does it every single year. She did it the first time when it happened. It was understandable. The very first time, but then they had her speaking on more than one. I think she spoke when they unveiled the statue.
Yeah.
Then they had her speak.
She's been speaking all over the place.
Yeah, and she prepares this. She goes into these soliloquies. And it's like, look, lady, this isn't about you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when it as a chindoni, maybe somebody else has got to do it. I mean, I don't know. They might have opened up a can of worms. I don't know how. They're going to pull back from this now, but and I also wonder with that, I'm just curious, do you think that the Warriors Award is going to be
forever?
Well, no, well, I guess that too, but I'm just curious, like, is it going to be for like well, not in Joan London's case, obviously, but like make a wish types situation. You know, is it going to be like that, or is it going to be?
I don't think something
not
that
anything is wrong with it. I'm just curious.
I don't think it's going to be something like, let's say, the kid is, going to drop dead tomorrow. I don't think.
What I'm saying is, this is the second person. Well, I know she's a survivor, but this is the second cancer.
I think the first
one kind of got it because
he was so tied in with the WWE.
And
that's why he got it. Outside that, I don't think they're just going to pick a random kid for Make-A-Wish to get the award. At least I don't think so. Like I said, Jones, she spoke good. She was okay. She was informed. She still looks pretty good, even though she's like 60-something.
Yeah, 65, I'd say.
Yeah. What other inductions were there? There was I thought Boss Man, I'll talk about Hanson here in a second. Boss Man and his kids, that was okay.
Big girls.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, they eat good in Georgia.
Yeah, the one in the middle, she was pretty much the... I don't think the other sister said anything.
No, she didn't.
That was the mom and two daughters, right?
Yeah.
The mom was a little... I think she had purple on. Can't remember.
She broke out the Billy Club.
And she was the smallest one.
Yeah. I'm missing, I guess the only one I am missing is Stan Hansen. And I didn't expect Vader to come out and talk so much. That's number one.
Before you get to Stan Hansen, what do you think of Slick?
You know what? Thank God I understood him. because in the times recently that Slick has come out on television,
he's been eating a lot of Yardbird lately.
He hasn't been, he's been in what's the word? Unintelligible? You know, and that was my concern, that we wouldn't be able to understand Slick, because he's got like a, I don't know if it's just a speech impediment, it's like an affect that he has. And he took his time, and he spoke, he spoke clear enough. So I thought Slick was okay.
Well, Double A, just real quick, I don't mean to cut you off. Ted Turner asked a question in the chat, and I don't know the answer to it. He said, didn't Slick and Boss Man never get along?
That I don't know.
Because I've never heard anything.
I've never heard anything. As far as I know, Slick got along with everybody. But then again, I don't know. But Stan Hansen. The APA inducted... The APA inducted who? Who was the first one that came out? Oh my God, I forgot. The Godfather, okay. The Godfather was okay, but getting back to Stan now. So I didn't expect Vader to come out and start talking a long time. Vader, and I was eating dinner while Vader was giving his speech. Vader sounded like he was giving his own Hall of Fame induction speech.
He's probably waiting.
He was probably like, well, you know, this spot was supposed to go to me, so I'm going to take the opportunity and just talk. Then Stan started talking. God bless Stan, but Stan doesn't know he doesn't know how to stay in one spot. Mm-mm. Like, he tells 5 seconds of a story and jumps to another story.
Well, that's getting his bell rung.
Oh, my God. And the poor bastard's blind as a bat. I posted in the chat room. The reason why that cowboy hat is so low is, like, probably for Stan, it didn't make a difference if there was 10,000 people in front of him or 10,000 trees, you know.
It's hard for me to look at him without stuff in his mouth.
Oh, without the skull. Yeah. And
his tobacco are dripping.
he speaks. Stan doesn't speak eloquently at all. He uses words in the wrong place. But whatever. And I didn't know this. I didn't know he had married an Asian woman. He's got Asian kids and everything.
He's always in Japan.
I knew about the Asian woman. I didn't know he had Asian, mixed children.
They're mixed children, yeah.
The whole thing about breaking Bruno's neck, I never knew for sure whether that was a work or he actually did break his neck. Because, when I was a kid, you would hear people got their neck broken, you would hear about death or paralyzation forever. And Bruno wrestled 6 months later. So, hello?
I'm sorry. I'm here. Think double A. Step away for a second.
I was never sure if that was that really happened or not. Well, that was a storyline, and I know a lot of people really didn't like Stan Hansen for breaking Bruno's neck. I mean, he was like the worst thing they thought had ever happened to a person.
His two big things that I think he got a lot for was what you said, him and what's the other one? Him running with that championship. That he took that champion AEW championship and ran to Japan with it. But I mean, he's in, and you know, it was decent. It was a decent class. I saw some comments. People were upset. It's still a lot of fans out here who still don't understand the whole thing with the celebrity ring. Cena had to break it down yet again tonight, but you see comments and stuff.
They were upset because Snoop Dogg went in.
They just don't understand at all what these people need. They don't understand it's a wing in the Hall of Fame, and it's not the same as being like, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same thing. You recognize these people for their contributions. It doesn't mean that they just don't understand it.
This doesn't make any sense. This is stupid that they would put this person in. It's like, okay.
You know what this is. It happens every year. You know what this is. And I don't know. Just wrestling fans.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Your guy's going to get in. I mean, jeez.
Well, that's the thing. They feel like I guess what you just said, I guess that's how I should have cleared it up, is that they feel like because somebody like Snoop Dogg or Trump or whoever else, Mike Tyson goes in, well, I can't believe they put him in, but they didn't put in, you know, no. If that person didn't go in, it would be another celebrity in their place. You know, I mean, you can't put everybody in. And Lex summed it up years ago perfect. Lex said years ago, he was like, they booked this like they do a card.
They're going into the back room over to the side. If you're at the Hall of Fame, you don't even have to go into the celebrity wing and see who's in there. You can just stay in the champion wing and learn a little history.
They need to have something called Wrestling 101 where they explain all this stuff, because people sure work like they don't know.
There's no building to go to right now anyway, so what difference does it make who's in the Hall of Fame?
Actually, there is a surfer.
Yeah, I thought Double A reported on that.
Okay.
Hold on. It's not. I'm talking about the WWE Hall. There's actually a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, a physical one that the people can go to and look at.
Okay, but I'm saying the WWE Hall of Fame. Right now, there's no place to go and spend your money, because that's what you got to do if you go on to see these things. And there's no. Your life isn't enhanced anymore. Or validate it if your guy gets in. Because all you're going to do is watch him on TV, say thanks, and take a ring and go home. So, I don't know what else to say.
You're the same wrestlers that complain about Saturday Morning Slam.
Yes.
You know, the exact same type of people. They got to complain about something. So, I mean, it's just sad when they take over. But all in all, I was happy. Oh, so can we talk about red carpet?
Yeah.
I had to send, so a couple of awkward moments I noticed, and I didn't see the whole thing, but was that was Maria Menounos, right?
Yes, yeah. She always does it.
Okay, so maybe it was just me, and maybe I'm just reading too much into it. But
she's going in one day.
Well, Randy Orton's up there with his wife.
Yeah.
And she goes off into the story about him having to get her into this after party.
From last year.
And Randy had this look on his face like he hopes nothing said that's going to embarrass him.
Incriminate him.
Yeah. And she's going on. And even after they stopped talking about it, she was like, yeah. So, you know, you guys, you made sure that, you know, I got in. And you made it a point to get me in that after party. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And
now, which wife
Randy
is
was very careful when he was speaking.
Which wife is this for Randy?
This would be number 2.
Oh, he's only been married a couple times?
He's only been married a couple times.
Just the one he got right after. I think he was dating JoJo. Then he married this one out of nowhere. Because I think one year he was with a lady that might have just been a date. She had wore her hair back. This wasn't her. But then I had actually had to ask Double A about Ambrose.
I mean, he seemed like the type that would go for the long blonde hair type of woman.
Nah, but he hasn't. They've all been brunettes. But
short ones, too.
Yeah. So let's talk about Dean Ambrose. Because apparently that got the internet talking. So Ambrose is with Renee Young, right? And Renee's asking him all sorts of questions. And his answers are the answers of somebody who's been, you know, touching the bottle all night. It's very unlikely that Dean was drunk. And I'm going to tell you why. Here's the explanation, folks. So listen very carefully. He was doing the interview with Renee Young, his girlfriend. He was busting her balls on live television because he can. That's what happened. Because if you cut to the shots of Dean Ambrose during the ceremony,
yeah,
Dean was fine.
He was fine. And I was trying to read her and see where she was going with it, and she was just smiling and everything. But I wasn't sure if that was just her trying to maintain some decorum and be professional, or if that was
she probably had to tell him off tonight.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, but so Ryder and Emma,
they're a thing.
Yeah.
They've been a thing for a little while.
Strange, like so he, like it looks like Ryder, like overshot his coverage with her.
And I didn't notice, you know, Harrison. I never heard her talk before. I guess
she's from Australia. Yeah.
And the one lady, who was the lady that? Who were these ladies that were out there?
Okay, there was the new girl that WWE hired, Catherine Kelly.
That was the one that called that said, "This is your first WrestleMania." She's like, "Actually, it's my second."
Yeah, and then she got. They were coming back from a break, like, "Welcome back," and it was dead. So, "Welcome back," about five times, and she missed her cue, you know.
And Bubba's like, "Welcome back."
Welcome back. Yeah.
So are these NXT? Are these what is it called? Are these what do they call it? Performance Center. Talents, and then they had.
No,
because I had never seen her before.
No, she's. They just hired her. She's from. She's a sports anchor from. I think she may be a sports anchor with either the Score or Sky Sports or something. One of those things up in Canada, I think.
And those ladies that were bringing the.
I think one was Mick Foley's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And the others, I don't know.
You know who I felt bad for? The Usos. Because they're being reduced to dancing bears at this point. It's like, ooh, this dance for us. And, what you say?
So what are you talking about?
During the pre-show that Maria made them dance.
Really?
We want you to dap for us. Because, you know, they follow... with dance, and they expected the Usos to dance all the time too.
Yeah,
and the Usos, they do play into that coonish role a little bit too easy.
Well, look, so Iron Sheik was there.
Yeah. Oh, Michael Hayes' performance though. That's when I saw Iron Sheik. Listen. I know it was done in good spirits, but I don't think Michael Hayes should have been singing Bad Street.
Michael Hayes was...
They made this such a big deal.
They made this... You would have thought that...
You would have thought, yes, they were the headliners.
I know! Like, that's what I'm saying, because I'm sitting up there like, are you serious? Like, the only thing I could think of... Okay, after the son said what they had to say... I thought, okay, it's done. And then he stood back up. So I was like, oh, he's about to get embarrassed because they already played the music to move on. And then he was like, who wants to hear more Freebird stories? I'm like, they're not going to do anymore. They're moving on. So then when they started talking again, I assumed that somebody said, give him more time. Or that they said, you know, Jacqueline, she went fairly quick, so we got more time. You know, I assumed that. They went on for, what, another 25 minutes?
Another 25 minutes, and then they bring out Kevin Von Erich.
For what reason? Like,
I have no idea. And it's like, well, he's already inducted, and it's like he came back to accept like another induction.
It seemed like everybody wants to induct themselves and induct the person they've spent in the ring with them.
I gotta say the whole thing about the Freebirds thing is when Michael Hayes started talking about the writers.
Yep. He went in. He was talking about that. He was talking about you know, just a lot of people backstage that he has worked with all through his Doc Hendricks and whatever else. Mm-hmm. The weird thing was with Michael Hayes is I don't know. I feel like this was something that ASF for years they're probably waiting to go to Texas.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted to know when the Freebirds were going to go, when they're going to go. But it was just one of those situations that it just got so awkward. And I don't know. He got out there and he started singing and parading around. It's like the BET Awards. I don't know.
And we don't know why the hell he was wearing a fanny pack.
Exactly. I mean, what was the purpose of him?
Because I don't ever remember in all the years him wearing a fanny pack.
Maybe his medication's in there.
You see that video that he did? I think it was somebody linked it and we watched it or talked about it on the ramp. He did some video and he had the lady singing with him. He was all red.
Yeah, he made a new song or something.
Him singing that song? Because when it first happened, AA was like, and I was too. I was like, wow, I'm kind of thinking they would go ahead and come out the bad street.
Right.
And then I was like, well, they'll probably close with it. Maybe they'll say, you know, hit the music or whatever, and they'll close. I had no idea this dude was going to sing. I think Jimmy left. I guess he said, I ain't dancing again.
What? Yeah, and then on top of that, Michael Hayes, he did the moonwalk, but it wasn't very good. And
he just let it go. When he was doing Doc Hendricks, I thought he had finally let it go because, you know, he cut his hair and it was showing him on TV. And he's just channeled back into this Michael Pierce. He's not trying to let it go. And some of these wrestlers, they would zoom in on some of these, you know, show some of the wrestlers, and the looks they would give on their faces are like, why are you doing this? I don't know, dude. But, I mean, it is what it is. They got their time. And the package was great, though.
Oh, the video package was excellent.
Very good.
That was done. But other than that... Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to edit that for, you know, and this Thursday, following SmackDown, the condensed version of this is going to air on the USA Network. I have no clue.
How are you going to condense that?
How are you going to condense that?
They find a way, though. It usually, you know what, a lot of times, sometimes the condensed version is a lot better than viewing. Depending on how long-winded some of these guys get.
During the replay, here comes Vader. Vader went out there, and not only did he talk a lot, Vader got out there, took his jacket off, and just posed out there for like 3 minutes.
You don't need to be taking nothing off after you reported about him and his nudes.
Oh my god, yeah, Jesus.
So what about Flair, though?
Oh, okay, Ric Flair. God,
he's about to cry again.
God bless him. You know, because he, of course he was going to cry, you know.
But anything, he's about to cry. I don't get it.
He goes, we have to take a moment to, you know, pay homage, to remember two brothers that we lost this year, Dusty Rhodes and Roddy Piper. And he's doing fine while he's talking about them. And then just as he's about to start talking about something else, he gets that... and he bites his thumb to try to calm down, and then he starts talking about Charlotte, and the same thing happens again.
He's like that old woman that sees like their child up on stage again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the complete opposite of the Flair we remember. Mm-hmm. Like he's like a
the Flair we remember, I don't even think knew how to cry.
And you know what else? The thing, he put everybody's business out on the street. He talking about Steamboat and his wives. And I'm trying to figure out what he said to Stan Hansen. He said something about Rick Martel.
He said that apparently...
Stan Hansen took a 9-second loss to Rick Martel.
And Flair was complaining because...
It's like, you didn't do that, you that didn't shit do that, for me.
Yeah, I had to wrestle your ass for an hour.
He said, you and Brody. He said, y'all wouldn't even get down on a knee from me.
Yeah. Then
I thought he was thinking he was getting a third ring.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was getting at. That he started talking as if, you know, he got to a point where he started getting comfortable. He was talking about Ricky Steamboat and how he was making all this money with Ricky Steamboat. And I guess he realized that he was losing track of what he was doing. And he goes, thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And he's about ready to turn around and leave. So he catches himself. And he goes, oh, and please welcome your 19 to your 2016 WWE Hall of Fame inductee, the icon, Sting. And, you know, he introduced Sting. But Flair, I got to tell you, man, he doesn't have any control anymore over that mic.
Oh, I knew he was going to do it. And the thing is, when you see, every time they would show Hunter's face, mm-hmm. I was always trying to see what he was thinking, you know, like read his mind, like what is he thinking, like, you know. And I think Flair's one of those people where they don't know what Flair's going to say. But, yeah, he made some faces, and Flair was,
I think Triple H is kind of conflicted. I think, like, the wrestler in him thinks it's funny, but the CEO in him is, like, cringing.
Yeah, he's getting to that point where he's got to look at it from a different point of view when it comes to that stuff. Like, he really had it. I will tell you that, and I'm jumping off on this. I didn't see, when they did the little red carpet thing, I never saw the whole thing with Dusty Statue, like that video.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube, actually.
It seemed like Cody, I mean, said something, you know.
He's the one that always talks at these things.
Okay.
You know, and,
well, I mean, they show Dustin. Dustin, outside of Goldust, he just always looks uncomfortable talking about anything.
Yeah.
He's Goldust, it's like he's the most free person that he mm-hmm. says. But outside of Goldust, he looks like he's in pain. I mean, he has like Tito Santana eyebrows.
That's why Cody does the talking.
And the one with the lisp. You know, Cody's the one with the
little bit of a lisp. He took that after his dad.
After his father, but Cody, Cody is very, like, he has that eloquence of speech and stuff when he, you know, when he talks, he knows what words and stuff to put together. But, you know, it seemed like it was real powerful when they came out, what he had to say. And you could tell how it really affected him.
I'll tell you who had a sour puss all night. Kevin Nash.
Yeah, he did. He had some looks on his face, like, because it's always got to be about him.
He probably don't even want to be there.
Yeah, he probably didn't.
He probably don't. You know, I think it's all in their agreement. They got to be there. If you like, got a Legends contract or something, somebody said that you got to show up for WrestleMania or the Hall of Fame.
Well, they got to do the whole weekend week. You know, it's what are you paying them for? If they're not there to sign some autographs and
yeah.
And you know, keep the.
I mean, what else is he doing? He just mad because he ain't in no place where he can negotiate now.
Well, he does have a movie career. I mean, he's in Magic Mike.
Come on.
Whatever. So go somewhere. What a movie career.
But
that man probably don't have no cartilage between his knees.
I do have to give Vince and them credit. Like, they don't make the show about them, about themselves. They don't be jumping up on stage and getting into these long-winded speeches.
No, they don't.
If it wasn't for the camera, you probably wouldn't even know that they were there in the first place.
Right.
Stephanie, the one thing that I've always found interesting is you find out people who you really didn't even know have certain relationships.
Yeah.
Until they start talking, like, what they showed. They showed, this is what I was going to say about the Freebirds. Part of me believes AA and that they, maybe they were going to go that long, because every time he mentions something, those pictures pop right up.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, I'll say, I'm trying to remember who all went in. Was it Lita that went in last year, or was that the year before?
Year before. But she spoke forever. And it was so goddamn boring.
Who won it last year?
Last year the headline was Kevin Nash.
That's right. Paul Bearer went last year too, right?
No, he went the year before.
That was the year before. Yeah. Why don't I remember last year?
Just a lot of names. With
that, I just called in because I want to talk about old Biff going up there and forgetting he was supposed to be inducting some damn body. He's getting ready to shut the whole. All right, y'all, we done. I'm all right. I'm done.
Think about Flair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Sting. Yeah, Sting for girl. Yeah,
crying and sitting there.
You think that Flair had some juice in him?
No, it's just when you get caught up in your own self so much.
And every time he get up there, he talk about the same thing. He talk about his ex-wives. You know, the one thing he did say that I just heard Sting say not too long ago was when he mentioned the whole thing about how they pretty much wrestled the same match.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And he was like, well, I change it if... And Sting said, I just saw a YouTube video where Sting was talking about that, how he wanted to switch it up. But Flair was like, why not, you know, go ahead out there. But, and, you know, Bret Hart said it too. He was like, Flair didn't... Bret Hart was very critical of Flair, obviously, about him not doing certain things in the ring. And Flair said himself, he was like, I don't call stuff like that. I just, you know, I listen to what y'all, the fans, how they respond, and that's what I go off of.
Flair just hit spots.
But the old Biff got out there and started talking about it. Ricky Steamboat and Dusty Rhodes and his daughter.
I said that was going to happen before.
I cried a little bit.
I don't see anybody. Who else would he potentially have to induct? That's it for him, right?
Vaughn goes in as a singles wrestler.
Say it again.
If Arn goes in as a single wrestler,
I don't see him doing that. He should, but I don't see him doing it. That's the sad part because there are some people. It's like Luger. Like Luger, I really don't see. Okay, if Luger goes in, he ain't headlining. Luger will. I think by the time Luger gets in, he's not going to be recognizable.
That rascal ain't going to be able to get up though.
I think he's in a wheelchair now.
Yeah, he's
they ain't gonna be able to push him up. That was kind of cold. Sting ain't recognizing, man. That's kind of messed up. Yo.
It was nice not seeing half the guys, you know, stumble out on stage like in the past when you see guys on crutches and canes and they barely make it to the podium. Like everybody.
What the hell?
Moving around a lot easier this time. I mean,
that's what it was. Macho Man Medusa went last year.
In Double A, you know them Freebirds. They lived a hard life in the 70s and 80s. Man, that's why it's catching up.
Wrestlers today, they got it easy. They fly to where they have to go. They don't have to jump in the car.
They're about to fly.
They don't.
No,
they don't
drive all night. And
yeah, they do drive all night because they got to do that show now. So they got to drive.
I'm saying they don't have to pack themselves six to a car and drive all night. They can get around a lot easier than they could back in the day.
Double A, he talking about the travel part. I ain't talking about the travel part. I'm talking about the booze and the drugs and the women.
All that adds up. You're traveling, then you're working, then you're boozing it up, and then you're traveling again.
Man, I'm about six in the rental. Six in the rental ain't hard unless you're high. You need to pass that.
I don't Snoop Dogg talking about getting high with John Cena, if you know what he mean.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cena making drug testing jokes and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Cena gonna be at Mania tomorrow. He doing something.
He gonna make sure Roman Reigns win.
God. And you know, it's a damn shame. Was he there tonight? That's what I called an ass. Was he there? I didn't see the whole thing.
Who, Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
They showed his wife.
It's horrible that your life in danger that day. They really would have booed if he was there. God,
who?
The fans.
Who? Roman Reigns? And that's the thing. That was another thing. We talked about that earlier. That's just total disrespect. I don't care. You don't have to like nobody. There's a time and a place, especially when you talk
that's
about.
That's why they left him out. That's why they told him to stay home.
He was there.
He was there.
They showed him and his wife at the beginning. Roman Reigns was there.
Did they put him on camera during the thing?
They interviewed him at the beginning. He was there.
No, I'm talking about.
I don't remember. I didn't see
him. Him in the out in the audience.
In the red carpet, they interviewed him.
Oh, I'm talking about if they did they show him in that arena?
I didn't watch the thing.
I think he caught a couple of times, but they didn't focus on somebody unless they were mentioned on stage. Other than that, it was just scanning the audience.
Yeah, and ain't nobody mentioned them neither. From what I watched,
it wasn't no reason for nobody to mention them because nobody there really had any connection.
Sometimes they'll mention somebody who in the main event, like, you know, last year it was talking about.
They didn't mention nobody from WrestleMania this year because the card is sorry. Who are they going to mention? Only people.
They mentioned Triple H about 8 times.
But every time they mentioned him.
But Triple H is everybody's boss.
No, but when they was talking about Triple H, they was always talking about his match. It was always referenced. It was the Sting going in. They ain't talking about nobody this year. Only person that got recognized, people that got recognized this year that's in is the New Day. And that's because they was into, because they wasn't nothing worth talking about in the Hall of Fame. I mean, wasn't nobody worth, wasn't, it had no
reason. The card is flat as a tile. So,
I mean,
what it is.
How you going to get up there and say, you know what, my career, you know, all the times I fought with Ric Flair, because Roman Reigns is going to really kick ass tomorrow.
You can say that. That don't make no sense.
It ain't had no place to mention.
No place.
That could have been something to put them over.
It wasn't the time or place to do that. They did what they supposed to do. That would have gone.
Instances that they have, though, Lee. That's what I'm saying. If it had never happened before, then I'd be like, all right, I understand.
Oh, they tried that with Cena back in the day when people just randomly mentioned him. So, I mean, they did that.
It backfired.
Yeah, it did. When Stone Cold would get out and grab the
Cena, them two characters are totally on opposite end of the spectrum. You either love John Cena or you hate him. It's just hate for him. So them two obviously another spectrum.
He got fans that come out there.
Yeah, they all 20.
I don't have no problem with it. You know, at the end of the day, this whole thing with Roman,
the characters suck. It ain't no problem with the man. That's what I'm saying. You half saying
the
carry, earlier.
Half the carriers on in the WWE right now sucking. So it ain't
but
just.
They're not in the main event spot though, Lee. That's the problem.
But it ain't his fault though.
It's Vince McMahon's fault. You can't go against Vince McMahon.
If it was me or you, I know for sure if it was me, I don't care who would boo. They paying me and giving me that shot, I take it. You can boo me.
That's logical. Of course you gonna turn down no check. Of course. That's logical.
The thing is this, I'm gonna tell you what the worst is. Booing, this is the problem. I think a lot of people think booing is a particular bad thing. Booing ain't a problem. Booing and getting cheered ain't the problem. The problem is when you get no reaction at all.
No reaction. Yeah, yeah.
He's getting a reaction, so he's fine.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about, Roman Reigns?
Yeah, he's getting a reaction. The worst thing is somebody don't get no reaction.
Yeah, when they sit on their hands. Yeah, you totally right about that.
I've seen that happen. That happened to David Richards once in Baltimore when he came out there, and it was like nobody was
sat on their hands.
Why do you think Drew Galloway is champion TNA right now? Because when he came out,
the hell they doing.
When he came out, he had no reaction. They tried to push him hard, and he came out of the ring. People didn't care less.
You talk about where he was with.
When Drew Galloway was in the WWE.
Oh, well, he was gone from there because
he had no reaction when he came down.
Oh, he was gone from there because that stuff with his wife.
Well, that too. I'm saying, but. During the whole time he was there,
they were shoving him down.
He took this to a whole nother level. You comparing Reigns? The thing is, he's getting a reaction. That guy's getting no reaction.
He gets one of the biggest reactions.
Two different things.
You know, I know a lot
the
of people.
Simple thing will be to turn him heel and
I don't even think it's a problem with Roman Reigns' character because when Roman Reigns is not in the title picture, he don't get booed. He gets cheered, as a matter of fact, when he's not in the title picture. It's just when he's in a title picture. Don't nobody want to see him as champion. If you go back and look at Raw, look at any Raw when he wasn't in the world title picture, and you will see him coming out there getting cheered.
Upset would be, I guess, you speak of the other.
Oh, well, you just personally don't like him. That's a personal thing. You just don't like Roman Reigns. But
No. I'm telling you, I have no issue with Roman being the man.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I mean, if he was the Intercontinental Champion or whatever, that would be fine.
I personally want him. Triple H don't have no business with it. Triple H don't have no business with it. Unless Brock Lesnar full-time, he don't have no business with it. If that man's going to be there every week, let him be the champion and be gone with it. Because, number one, these championships – the problem is, no, the thing is this. These championships don't mean nothing no more. And we know they don't mean nothing. So just might as well give it.
But half the reason they don't mean nothing is because they put them on a face that's supposed to be somebody that's supposed to be face, and he going to get booed out the building.
You know why they don't mean nothing? I'd rather have Roman Reigns champion than Miz, when Miz headline WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oh, it's a bunch. But Lee, it's a bunch of non-personality having cookie cutter mofo, and a lot of it is WWE fault. True enough,
all of it they is. Don't, they don't want to do the bucket.
There you go. So
no, I'm just saying. So if we know that, this dude shouldn't get no hate then.
No, he gonna get as much hate as though.
No, because at the end of the day, we know this from we know this that it don't matter how many times he get booed to talk about, they gonna make champion who they want to make champion. Kevin Nash is champion for a whole year, and Kevin Nash ain't nowhere near on Roman Reigns' level as far as wrestling.
I'm gonna say this, and ain't no day is Vince McMahon he get the final say.
Well, you're and right. Like Kevin Nash was world champion for a whole year, and that was just
because of Vince McMahon.
That man should have never had a championship as long as he did. A year or
he got more charisma than Roman Reigns.
Kevin
so you mean to tell me if Roman Reigns personality, listen to me. Let me ask you this question. If you stick Roman Reigns' personality and Kevin Nash, you flop their personality, you think the NWO would have got over?
We not talking, but you just talking about personality.
No, I'm talking about.
Okay, no, what I'm talking
you about wrestling.
No, I'm talking about wrestling and personality. If we just go on strictly off personality, then Paul Heyman would outdo both of them.
If you can't do one,
I'll counter something.
Well, Kevin Nash can talk, but he can't wrestle.
Yeah, but the thing about Kevin Nash, had he not been pushed by Vince into a championship, he wouldn't have been in a position to go to WCW and be part of the NWO.
Well, I'm going to say this. He could talk, bro. That's half the battle right there.
And the other half is wrestling.
If Roman Reigns could wrestle?
Roman Reigns could wrestle better than Kevin Nash.
WCW had Kevin
Nash. That's like saying you being the tallest man.
Oh, come on. If you ask anybody in the day, you can't tell me Kevin Nash can
wrestle. Giving you that, but I'm saying that's like being the tallest midget.
Kevin Nash had a sidewalk slam. He had those elbows to the corner.
You ain't saying nothing.
That's all he had. Kevin Nash was sorry.
You're not saying nothing. That's what I'm saying. That's like being the tallest.
Saying a lot because this man was given all this prestige, and he's one of the sorriest wrestlers. But talking ain't enough. Because if that's the case,
because obviously it is because he was given that much. That's what I'm saying.
Kevin Nash's was it wasn't the fact that that's why he was given what he was given. He was given what he was given because of who he knew. And that's all that was.
He didn't know nobody in WCW. What are you talking about?
No, when he got in there, he was with Diamond Dallas Page. From there, it's all on his thing. Shawn Michaels saw him on TV. He went over there with Shawn Michaels. Once he was in with Shawn Michaels, he was good.
I'm giving you the Roman Reigns wrestling thing. All right, I give you that. But you still got to be able to string some sentences together and appeal to some people.
Okay,
if you
thing is this, wrestling is one thing, but how many people don't have to be able to talk? They can put you, they can give you a gimmick that'll work. Look at the, what's her name? What's the one that just won the NXT Women's Championship? I never heard this woman talk.
Yeah.
And then it goes, so now you back to is WWE fault because he can't talk. Okay, I give you that.
Can't speak though.
You don't always have to be able to talk if you have a presence that can translate.
But give him a microphone.
You have to say anything. All right, when Goldberg was doing what Goldberg was doing, All right, run it through people.
That's Goldberg. I get it.
They thought his presence translated to the audience.
But that's where they messed up with this guy's character. They made him talk. If you had been a Goldberg, wouldn't nobody have no problem with
so,
him.
So we all can agree that that's the case then. So yeah,
once you put that microphone in your mouth. Get the boost
he getting. Having a person that didn't talk 15 years ago worked more than it probably does today. So, the wrestling business is one of those things where they're not going to stick a guy with a manager to be a mouthpiece outside of Brock Lesnar for the most part.
Okay, I disagree with that because they gave Ryback and Kurzak, they gave Paul Heyman to people before.
Yep. All right?
They gave Jack Swagger, who has that list problem, they gave him Dutch Mantel. They've given people to people before. Matter of fact, they wasted...
Yes, they have. But
I understand the chemistry, but they wasted CM Punk and with Paul Heyman going with him. CM Punk ain't need nobody to talk to him.
Where are these guys coming from now?
And Lee, I'm going to give you this.
Okay, that's booking, though, Surfer. That's what I'm saying is that's booking, though.
Yeah, that's booking. It's totally booking. Yeah, and Lee, I'm going to give you this.
What I'm trying to say is part of the way they book people is based on the fact that they can't speak for themselves.
Okay,
but Lee, I'm going to give you this. Right. They knew anything about.
Look
if they had any ounce of brain in the back, though, Lee, they would have made the lineage thing between Heyman and Reigns and make that happen.
That
make more sense than the ride back and the
there's been plenty of guys that come through that looked the part and couldn't not talk, and then at the same time did not have any kind of gimmick that translated well on TV, and so their career went nowhere.
Okay, Warrior couldn't talk. Bobby Eaton couldn't talk. I mean, we can keep going on a whole bunch of guys that couldn't talk.
Different eras.
No. It doesn't matter what eras. If we talking about ingredients that make a wrestler, you're talking about promos and performance, then, I mean, it don't matter what era that is. That's what wrestling is about. Cut the promo, you being able to do that. So it comes a point where you have to say, okay, this person wasn't given the opportunity, or this person was given this spot because of who they knew. And like I said, again, Kevin Nash, prime example. Yeah, the dude could talk. He was given, we just got to finish talking about this. We just got, okay, out of Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. Scott Hall was far more superior compared to Kevin Nash.
Of course.
And Scott Hall wasn't given half of what Kevin Nash was given.
Because he ain't had a look. That I guess
no. That
look, look.
Kevin Nash,
you didn't have
Kevin,
a look.
Kevin Nash is a lot smarter. He's got hard, knew how to politic better in the
That's
back.
That's what it was, politics. So call
he
it what
you know how to stay politics. Clean, keep his nose clean. Yeah, Scott Hall may have been the world champion, but he want to booze up, do stuff like that. You can't have that as a world champion, man.
Kevin Nash
you got to be all around.
Who are the X-Pac?
I feel the story.
All I'm saying,
the X-Pac only went so high, though. You know what I'm saying? I get what you're saying. You know,
I'm saying on a funny level, we can hate on Roman Reigns and John Cena, but at the end of the day, the man, it can't go back towards him. And if they go push this man as champion, I mean, if anybody looked at
to turn him heel.
That ain't always the
answer.
I agree, but that ain't always the answer.
Okay, turn him heel.
No, it ain't. It's just in this case.
Because we say turn a heel. Well, what I'm saying is...
Sorry, go ahead. Okay, just say... People say turn him heel. Is that so you can justify booing him?
Well, no. I mean, they say turn heel.
How would a heel make him any more likable or better as a character?
Well, I'm saying, like, okay, some people, as far as what I can see, and I've heard wrestlers say that when they perform as a heel, it's a lot easier for them. I'm thinking is... Okay, if they're going to turn this guy heel, if you're going to turn somebody heel, it's easy for us to say turn heel, but what happens next? What happens after you turn him heel? What do you do with that if you turn him heel? If he wins tomorrow, if he were to win tomorrow and turn heel and win that championship, what's next for Roman Reigns?
It'll be
from there.
It'll be easier to book than if he was a face, though. That's the short end of the answer.
It'll be a lot easier to book him if he was a heel, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the gist of it. I mean, because the thing is, let's say you're a face, it's harder to get over as a face because you're going to suffer the Roman Reigns or the John Cena syndrome, and you're going to get booed as a face. If you're a shitty heel, you're going to get booed regardless.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm saying for Tony is this, though. I'm saying, okay, turning him heel, if most of people's argument with him is the fact that he can't talk, turning him heel ain't going to cure that.
No.
You still got to deal with the fact this guy can't talk if he don't have a manager.
Yeah, the only thing that'll at least help cover up the incorrect chance.
Unless he turned heel and he don't explain himself and just come out there and don't say nothing.
I have hope that something's going to happen tomorrow.
I do too. I think something's going to happen because otherwise I want to know the purpose of making it no DQ. If it's no DQ just so they can bloody each other up like they've been doing on Raw, then that's just dumb.
I think because they're going to go all over the stadium. I don't think it necessarily has to do anything with blood.
If that's the case, that's just, I don't know. I understand the frustration with Roman Reigns. I'm just saying in the world of sports entertainment, we know what we're going to get. And it all points at Roman Reigns because when you look at a guy like him, he's that guy they can put in a suit, put his hand in a ponytail, and he can go on Good Morning America.
Yeah. Yes,
well,
can.
You know, the Son of God, when he was champion, it wasn't like he was being a model spokesperson for the company, so...
Yeah, but look, he was limited in his opportunities and stuff how he could promote with. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, you talk about Punk, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm saying, Punk was the champion. God, but he wasn't the face though.
God only had one has only one wrestling son, so.
Well, all I'm saying is that CM Punk, when he was the champion, he still was the face of the company. John Cena still was. He wasn't going out doing all these Make-A-Wish and... I mean,
but
he had
it. He should have.
Oh, I don't know what happened. All right, so... Let me see. Let me try to get these guys back here. Let me see here. We lost... let me see. Let me get Lee back.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Hold on. Let me get Lee back. And then Tony C, I'll get back as well. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Okay, so when he was champion, he could have done more to promote the company and make himself into...
But I don't think that was him.
That's Tony C trying to call us.
Yeah, just ignore it.
Yeah, Tony's going to have to call double.
And... No, I mean, I think he could have done more to position himself into being the face of the company.
But he didn't have that clean-cut look. I mean, that's okay. Okay, what I'm saying to you, Surfer, is that, and I'm not saying, like, to you, what I'm saying is that, like, back when it was a private company, they could put whatever they wanted out there. But because it's such an importance on this brand and who the spokesperson is and how it's represented, I mean, they got to think of all types of stuff. Can they send this person to the
creative company?
Can they send this person to the Kids' Choice Awards? Can they put this person on a cereal box? Can this person have their own? What, John Cena have like some cooking show now? He has some type of show now on TV. My wife was talking to me about
a competition. On a competition show.
I mean, all these things this person will be able to do and look like CM Punk got an earring in his mouth.
They can throw him into a movie real quick and promote that to help promote the company. I mean, we know Cena can act, but he's
And then you know what they got to deal with, sir?
He did like three movies last year.
They tell Cena, more than likely, Cena will do it. Punk was in a situation where if he didn't want to do it, he going to fuss about it. I don't think this is right.
Then you're not doing your job as you can't be top of the company.
Well, that's why he's where he is now.
Well, he was, but he wasn't in no movies and all that. Well, he wasn't really considered top of the company. He just had a belt.
Look, if he wanted
and
to
that's
look,
a prime example why that belt ain't big enough.
If he wanted to look off the norm, that's a personal choice. But if that's affecting your bottom line, that's affecting how you grow in the company, then, you know, you make a choice. You either clean your act up or you stay the rebel.
Well, he's the champion for 435 days. But like Lee said it, Lee put it best. When you the man that they like to hold – like Hogan and Cena was when they You ain't got to have a title. Or Rock, you go do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just about having a title. It's about doing other things for the company, too.
That's what I'm saying, that same thing. I'm saying what you're saying. That's what we're saying.
I'm saying Punk could have did more to make himself into that he did.
But it did. Obviously, he didn't want to. He just wanted to be WWE champion.
Can't complain.
I think Punk was more interested in being a professional wrestler in a sport, in a company that clearly moved in a different direction.
Yeah,
and that's all it is too. Daniel Bryan said it himself. He said that this altogether is something different.
You live in the 20th century instead of living in the 21st century.
Well, no, I think that's something I wonder about with some of these wrestlers, because a lot of them say they grew up watching, you know, this, that, and the other, and that's fine. But realize that this isn't the your expectation when you get to the main roster is going to be, it's going to be different.
Well, listen, wrestling from 20 years ago is not the same wrestling they had in the 40s and the 30s. I mean, the sport is going to change every 10 to 20 years, and it has to. People really? Change.
They ain't wrestling bears no more.
You know where
I agree.
You know what shoot wrestlers come
to.
Could you imagine that if there was still shoot promotions wrestling. Having wrestling matches with bears?
Teddy Hart had his way they still but this fool Teddy Hart said that he came up with a match where he would have these trained monkeys that would go
like
and
the Wizard of Oz,
yes, these trained monkeys exactly that would go out there and they would unlock and get a key, and when they did this, you'd be allowed to wrestle inside of this type of match, and then you had to rely on the monkey. This dude is so far out there. This Teddy Hart character is so far out there, and they say he's probably the most talented Hart, you know, since Brett. But his ideas and his whole way he thinks and his, is just that's what held him back. Because I don't think WWE ever signed him.
I don't remember, to be honest with you, but anyways, let's wrap it up, because we got a long day tomorrow. All right, well, first of all, it was a good night. It was I think the right people are in the Hall of Fame, so you know, we'll see what happens next year. Now we can start speculating about next year. Who's going to get inducted? Who's going to be the main event? And things like that. Who's going to get snubbed? And cool. now that they got this legacy award, they can start throwing in all these names that are old that they never inducted, but they have a place in wrestling that you know, they inducted Ed Stringler, Lewis, George Hackenschmidt, Frank Gotch, Lou Thesz.
They lump them all together.
They lump them all together. Yeah. So now every year they're going to have like six or seven of these.
Oh, that's how Luger's going to get in there.
Luger's going to get in through the back though.
I'm saying there's no way Luger's getting in on his own.
Luger didn't get in as a horseman.
Well, he shouldn't have gotten in.
He shouldn't have. What the hell, sir?
I think there's certain individuals, and Luger was the one who he was on that first Nitro, and he had that verbal contract. And he's not a big enough star to transcend. Jeff Jarrett ain't getting in there as long as Vince McMahon alive.
Besides, Ric Flair said that the best combination of the Horsemen was Rick, J.J. Dillon, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and Barry Windham.
And I totally agree with that.
That may be true, but when Luger was part of the Horsemen did gain a lot in popularity.
Okay, what did Luger do as a horseman?
Go take a nap with that. Luger ain't getting in no damn.
I don't think the Horsemen grew while he was.
Of course not. It's too late. I'm just saying, like,
even if it wasn't too late,
same.
I remember him as
the horse. They didn't consider adding Luger's name to the mix, so
I don't know.
And that would have been that would have been the easiest way to get Luger in without actually putting him in as an individual.
Let me tell you something. When Luger, when
easiest way of him getting in is
when they all had champions. I'm just saying, when they all had them championships, to me that was the elite of the Horsemen right there.
Pastor, nothing to do with no damn Lex Luger.
Yeah, Pastor Siddell says they're gonna throw in people like Sam Mushnick. Now listen, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem if they go in and start inducting, you know, people like Sam Mushnick and Bob Geigel and all these people.
I bet you don't like it if they put Meltzer in there, huh?
Oh my God! Mm-mm. No, but the thing is,
they're gonna want to burn it.
No. You're laughing because you're probably thinking of Phil Mushnick. But Sam Mushnick, I can understand them inducting Sam and Bob Geigel and Paul Bosch and all these people. But the thing is, the only one, if they let's say they lump a group of promoters, that I hope that they don't do that and then throw Jim Crockett in there, for example.
Double A, before we go, I got one question for Lee. One quick question. This is a good one, too. Okay, Lee, gun to your back.
I hope Ted gets his own
induction. Gun to your back, Lee. Who get in first, Luger or Jarrett?
Luger.
The only way, Luger, there's no way Jeff Jarrett getting there as long as this one's alive.
Isn't Jeff Jarrett in the TNA Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
No.
Or he turned it down or whatever.
He's good. He's set.
He turned it down or whatever he did. I don't remember.
Well, and that global stuff, you haven't heard about that since they left TNA.
They've taped
TV. They got on TV. They've got a TV contract.
They taped a TV show that hasn't aired yet.
So by the time it airs, wait a minute.
By the time it airs, we're going to have another. By the time it airs, we're going to have another president in the country. We're going to have a new president.
Damn.
No, you know what it's going to air? It's going to air in the. It's going to air in the summertime. You're going to see everybody in the crowd with winter coats on.
Yeah.
And that's when they filmed everything.
Damn.
Well, right. They filmed so far. Their first TV tapings was last summer.
Oh, so this that's what? Right. So,
yeah, their first TV tapings were last summer.
A month should be the longest you should go from taping a show to getting it on air. Mm-hmm. And that's pushing it.
Some people can't do that, Surfer.
What? Why do you think TNA is failing? Because they showing stuff from 4 or 5 months ago, and you're watching a guy win the belt, and he's already in NXT, working his way through there.
Yeah,
and
that's
just winning the belt on TNA.
Everybody knows my stance on that. You can't really? Do that.
So wait a minute. In 4 days, it'll be the anniversary. It'll be the 2 year anniversary of Global Force Wrestling. It was founded on April 7, 2014.
Two years
ago, and we've yet to see
a TV show. Even though they've taped
TV. Magnus their champion?
Magnus is their champion. They've taped.
But wait a minute. They got two shows. Don't they have Amp and they have... Oh, is Amp the one?
They probably tape.
Magnus is defending that belt in cafeterias and gymnasiums all across this country.
American Legion halls and...
the Bingo Elks, halls.
The Elks Club. And all
Magnus is their champion?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Defending that... In VFW halls, surfing knows
the
about them.
The Bollywood Boys. So they are Las Vegas promotion, is what it is. Huh?
Yeah.
And isn't it like when singers go to retire and have performances and stuff?
Yeah,
like
Wayne, this is where they're starting to. They're going to make a new trend. This is where wrestling promotions go to die now.
Go to die.
All of their champions are, outside of Magnus. Their champions are all Indian. Sanjay Dutt, the Bollywood Boys. They should just go to India.
Well, they got a bunch of dot heads over there.
Oh, I'm done with you.
Anyways, I heard Stan Hansen. I heard what y'all said about Stan Hansen marrying that chink woman. All right.
Anyways. Enough of that. This
see,
week.
Surfer, that's what you were talking about. That's the rumor you heard. It wasn't Michael PSA's. It was Stan.
All right, enough of that. We're going to try to keep a little bit of decorum this
week.
Anyways, let's talk about real briefly what's going to happen tomorrow. The fun continues and the excitement continues, and it kicks off at 7 a.m. with a replay of the Philatorial, followed by a replay of Freaks and Effing Geeks. The live programming starts at 10 o'clock in the morning with the Wrestling Call-In Show, followed by Talk Brunch at 12 noon. The final episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks with the Mega Powers will be at 2 o'clock live. They're going to be talking about WrestleMania 5. And then, of course, the Rant rounds everything up at 4 p.m. live here on Rant AM Radio. We end the weekend with our final broadcast following WrestleMania at 11 p.m. for a two-hour WrestleMania post-show, where we're going to recap everything that went down And then, of course, if you missed any part of the marathon, you can download all the shows on iTunes and whatever device you like to download on. And it is the rotation of all the shows is currently airing in the feed, including this one. This one will air shortly. So if you missed any part of this and you want to hang out in the chat room and continue to chat because you're usually there because the Wrestling Call-In Show is on at this hour, hang around. We're going to replay this program in a couple of minutes. But any final thoughts before we sign off?
Nope, all good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being on, and that's that. And they're trying, everybody's trying to get Thank You Sting to be the number one trend in the world, but it's kind of late in the night. I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, sorry. But I just wanted to, did you get emotional tonight?
I'm going to tell you why I didn't. I didn't because of there was just too many things that had happened that kind of took away from the opportunity of, like, for example, Ric Flair thinking that he was inducting himself a third time. That kind of took away now, from the whole thing.
That's the gate, right?
You know,
about me.
I'm done. Oh yeah.
Here's Sting. They showed, you know, them showing all the old divas, Nydia, Terry, Molly Holly, Lita, Trish. That was kind of fun to see that.
Molly was there. I didn't.
Molly was there. Molly was there.
How was she looking?
She looked like Molly.
Yep. I always like Molly Holly.
She didn't look virginal though anymore, right?
No, she had her cherry popped a long time ago.
I know, man. That's very disappointing to hear.
Anyways, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank, of course, our wonderful panel for Lee, for Tony C, and Surfer. IMAA. Remember, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, the fun continues. Live programming kicks off at 10 a.m. We'll be broadcasting live on YouTube. And, of course, make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RantAm Radio. We're going to have match results for WrestleMania. We'll be chatting all day. I mean, please, join us tomorrow because it is going to be exciting. Have a good night, everybody.
Papers.